Facts allow you to make decisions in unpredictable times. Get the facts you need from the Wall Street Journal. From free coronavirus updates to daily deep dives in our podcasts and videos, WSJ is a trusted source in uncertain times. Visit WSJ.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, June 5th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for the Wall Street Journal. Amid the pandemic, offices are having to try to figure out how to connect and get things done online. And that's put the need for technologies to help them do that at an all-time high. For companies that make those technologies, the competition for market share is fierce. Today, our reporter Aaron Tilley joins us to talk about one of the world's largest, Microsoft, and how it's been aggressively pushing its Teams product. That's coming up after these headlines. Campaign staffers for President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden have been targeted by cyber attacks from Iran and China. Google said Thursday that the campaigns were receiving phishing attacks, which hackers often use to gain access to email accounts. The attacks don't appear to have been successful, and Google said it had notified federal authorities as well as the targets of the attacks. Slack is the latest workplace communication company to report earnings, topping $200 million in a quarter for the first time. The bump is thanks in part to higher demand for remote work technologies during the pandemic. But stocks still sank in the extended session on Thursday afternoon. Overall, the company reported a loss of $74 million, or 13 cents a share. Slack now has 122,000 paying customers, but that pales in comparison to its rival, Microsoft. By comparison, Microsoft's Teams product has 75 million active daily users, and they've been rushing to add more as offices continue to work from home. We'll talk more about how Microsoft is doing that after the break.
The conditions we work in are changing more rapidly than ever. Employees are looking to leaders, and leaders are searching for a path forward. Time's Up is here to help. The Time's Up Guide to Equity and Inclusion During Crisis offers practical steps that leaders can take to care for their people, equalize their workplace, and lead with purpose. Download the new guide by texting INCLUSION to 306-44. Message and data rates apply. Text STOP to opt out.
The battle to power remote teams is heating up. Slack, Zoom, Google, and other platforms have seen tens of millions of new customers in recent months. And Microsoft is also betting that the need for work-from-home tech is here to stay. The company sees its conferencing and collaboration software Teams as critical to the future of its business. But some rivals say Microsoft has been pretty aggressive about its push to gain market share. Our reporter Aaron Tilley has been looking into this, and he joins us to talk. Aaron, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We know the market for video conferencing tools has grown since the pandemic began. We're talking on one now, but can you just give us a sense of how things have changed for these companies in the past few months?
Yeah, so across the board, anything that enables remote working, especially in video conferencing, has grown exponentially. It's doubled, tripled, you know, 10 multiples, 20 multiples. It's seen, especially the biggest beneficiary here has been Zoom. But everybody here is seeing sort of exponential growth. And it's just, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose for a lot of folks. It's just so much opportunity here.
So what's Microsoft been doing to try and compete?
So for the past few years, Microsoft has had this product called Teams. It's sort of their all-in-one collaboration product. Really started out to focus on the product Slack, which is a chat-based sort of collaboration product, and has really morphed into this all-encompassing product. Like they call it like the new Windows. It's the new sort of operating system that incorporates this huge suite of products for their productivity business, all their office products, all their sort of file sharing products. And this is a really core strategic suite of products. It's, you know, a third of their, you know, revenue. It's been a big part of their sort of return to supremacy. They're sort of their big reason they're now, they trade off between Apple and Microsoft. You know, as Microsoft is one of the most valuable companies in the world, you know, above a $1 trillion market cap. So They've been really focusing on Teams, and over the past few months, they've had to accelerate this video conferencing push. So they've had video conferencing, but they've now, over the past few months, to really meet the demand and meet, you know, the competitors like Zoom is match a lot of those features, improve the product. They put a lot more people into that, to the team working on the video conferencing features inside the product teams.
You mentioned Slack, and I'm sure that's a kind of a buzzword around Microsoft. Microsoft actually tried to acquire Slack back in 2015, right? But it didn't work. It sounds like that kind of has turned into a pretty intense rivalry.
Yeah, you know, Slack launched in 2014, and they were really a hot company. Everybody was trying to talk to them, acquire them. They were kind of defining this new idea of collaboration, which is really taking off now. And you know, Microsoft recognized that and tried to acquire them. Stuart Butterfield, the CEO and founder of Slack, has been very, he's been very resistant, and he thinks that his company is strong enough to be the new sort of independent platform for a lot of this stuff. So he pushed back and, you know, turned down a lot of these offers, including Microsoft's. And Microsoft has gone really hard after them, aggressively trying to match a lot of their features. Stuart Butterfield, you know, he thinks they're trying to undermine them strategically and seed fear into the market about how they announce new features or user numbers, really to undermine Slack, the confidence in Slack from investors and customers. So this is kind of Stuart's theory, but it seems to be working. You know, when Microsoft releases some user numbers, Slack stock tanks 10%. Whether or not this is intentionally done by Microsoft, it seems to be working for them.
It sounds like you did some digging as well, that it's not just Butterfield's impression. It sounds like Microsoft also was talking about Slack and its security features.
Yeah. So internally at Microsoft, there was a very serious concern about Slack. You know, they saw this huge product gap. So they certainly did have to go after Slack in every way they could. You know, they matched features. They also, when conversations with customers, you know, the argument would be that Slack isn't enterprise ready, meaning it's not as secure, as robust. It doesn't match all the needs of a customer who need to really follow any regulatory compliance issues. And this is pretty common in sales tactics. If you're competing against somebody, you have to kind of try to crap on the competition to some degree. But, you know, Microsoft is this tremendous, powerful, most powerful company in the world going up against this, you know, $20 billion startup. It's kind of hard to push back when you're that kind of startup.
Microsoft and Apple are basically always kind of jockeying for the highest valued company in the world. So these harsh competition tactics, these are things that people look at pretty critically when it comes to these kinds of powerful companies. Have there been any antitrust concerns here?
Yeah, Microsoft has been sort of out of the antitrust conversation. Obviously, in the 90s, they were the prime target with the power of Windows, but that you haven't seen them in part of that conversation. But through my reporting, I have gotten glimpses of some interest in Microsoft and the kind of power they have in this market. David Cicilline, head of the antitrust committee, has had conversations with a few competitors here about whether Microsoft is unfairly competing. So there is interest. It's yet to be seen how far this interest goes, if regulators, you know, how far regulators will go and deploying, if they start investigating, trying to get evidence in this situation. But we'll have to see where this all goes. But there has been some interest. It just hasn't kind of gone all the way yet.
Microsoft clearly sees a huge business opportunity in this space, as do these other smaller competitors. What's their vision for what our kind of work from home collaboration will look like in the future?
Good question. I think it's more technology. I think it's a lot of people talk about now as we returning to the office, that the inevitable future is going to be this kind of hybrid work that remote work is kind of going to be a permanent feature of work from now on. I mean, we'll go back to the offices, but it'll be different. It'll be more open to a lot more remote collaboration. And so these tools will become more important and more essential. I mean, they've grown exponentially over the past 2 months, but they're kind of here to stay, and that there's going to be these products are going to be very sticky in some cases, especially with a product like Slack or Teams. You can't get that data very easily out there. You kind of incorporate these processes into how you work and collaborate inside the company in this new kind of hybrid work format. And it's going to be kind of just this big opportunity going forward for them. So I think we haven't seen the end of this growth. And I think that this is going to be here to stay. So these companies need to make sure that they're at the top of the list in terms of what's being used at the end of this in order to, you know, stay strong in this business.
All right. Our reporter, Aaron Tilley, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for your time.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. If you like this podcast, please take a moment and rate and review us in Apple Podcasts. It really does help. And if you want more news about us and the rest of the Wall Street Journal's podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. Tech News Briefing was produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.